government, talking about church government beginning tonight. And this is just kind of preceding some things that we need to do here at the church as far as leadership goes. So that'll be coming in the new year, but I thought this would be a good opportunity for us to talk about it. Anybody recognize the picture? Probably not the best picture to show. What's that? What's that? What is it?
It looks like the basilica out there in Rome.
Yeah, it's part of the Vatican complex over there. So I don't know why I picked a nighttime picture. Anyway, that's a picture representing one of the church governments that is present in our common day, in our present day. So we'll talk some about that. Not about that, but about church government. When we talk about church government, we're talking about the structure of the church. How is the church to be organized? How is it supposed to be set up? Are there supposed to be leaders? Is Jesus our only, one and only leader, and there's not supposed to be anybody else? So we'll kind of address those issues as we move through this. A lot of it will be really simple. I already know that, and that's great. Some of the application, that's where it gets a little bit, should we do this? Should we do that? Or we'll figure that out the best that we can. So let me ask you a couple of questions. What kind of things make you feel part of a group, movement, or organization? Now, that's not just the church yet. We'll ask that more specifically. But in general, what kinds of things, and it's going to be a little different for each one of us, what kinds of things helps you personally feel that you are a part of something? What kinds of things contribute to that? And let's start with Gary, and then we'll come over here to Anthony. Okay.
But that's been in both. The chaos is very important.
All right. So if it's ordered, then it's easier for you to be a part of it and to join in. Okay, good. I agree with that. Good. What else? This is any group, organization, or movement. What makes you feel a part of that? Anthony?
Common belief.
Okay, good. Common belief, common core values, root values, those things are very important.
Having responsibilities.
Okay, good. Having responsibilities. Others? Okay. Otherwise, you might not feel like you can engage. But if they invite you and show, well, we want you, then that goes a long way. All right, good. Invitation and what else? A connection. Involvement. Did somebody say involvement? Beverly? Okay. Others? Gary?
Okay, this is a specific concern with the doctrine. You know, not something modern like who wrote the book of Hebrews.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because there's, you can go to 10 different places and get 10 different answers.
Okay.
When Jesus basically told you, he's the way, the truth, and the life, that's it.
Yeah. All right, so common belief, and especially in the church, having the right doctrine. Terry?
Whether it's a church or a company or whatever, I think it's always good to have committees. And the more people that you have involved in those committees,
okay. All right. Yeah, so two good points there.
How about a leader? A leader.
Okay, good leader, strong leader.
A leader, a facilitator, a
Someone you can look up to and respect, I guess. And take you in the right direction,
yeah.
Kind of a thing. Okay, anything else? Okay, that's good. Okay. By the way, Ron, go ahead.
So at work we have group chats and then we have email aliases that we use so that you can email the whole group.
Okay.
Similar to our email chain that we have.
So communication between people. All right. All right, anything else? By the way, I think it's 2 weeks. On the 13th, is that 2 weeks from now, Terry, for the finance meeting?
Next Wednesday. No, 2 weeks.
2 weeks. All right, 2 weeks. All right, so next week we have the dinner, and then in the week after that we're having a meeting in order to present, we're going to present the budget for next year. So I think an announcement was made for that on Sunday, but this is a chance for you to see what's happening with the finances and have whatever questions you might have as far as how the church is using the finances. You can ask Terry or Philip or Dan Gribble if you have any questions, or of course, you know, any of us pastors, you can ask us if you have any questions. So that'll be 2 weeks from tonight. All right, anything else that helps you feel part of a group, movement, or organization? Carl? Okay, good. Yeah, that's pretty good. Our society and culture a lot of times knocks tradition, especially, you know, the younger generation comes up. But the New Testament talks about tradition, and of course you can see that thread throughout the whole Old Testament, that there's something to be said about having a foundation and that thread of that foundation that continues on through the years and through the generations, and a tradition that identifies you or helps identify you. Of course, there are some downsides to that too, as there are with any of these things, but that's a good one. I like that. Gary?
And another thing that I call besides leadership, when you're in some sort of group, you feel equal. You don't feel like you're less than someone else.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, nobody wants to be put down all the time and beat up, and then you're going to feel like you're not a part of the group, you know, but that maybe this isn't the group for me. Okay? when we start talking about the church, how does that change? Does anything change? I don't want to repeat these things because I think in some sense all of these can be applied to the church in some way, but what are the things in addition to these or undergirding some of these is important when we consider the church? So one thing that's already been mentioned when we talk about having a core belief, a common ground, when it comes to the church, we have to take that and we call it having sound doctrine. There has to be this desire, the pursuit of the truth, which we don't create. We discover it, if I can put it that way, from the Word of God. So when we come to the church, our foundation must be the truth. And that's the common ground that ties us together. As a matter of fact, it's pretty remarkable. When you go to other parts of the world and you come across believers, true believers, it's amazing that you have an automatic connection with them because the truth is the same. And that's an amazing thing. All right, what do you think about that?
I think something that keeps the church out of trouble is when you think your leaders are doing according to what Paul said in Timothy, what the qualifications are.
Right. Okay. So, that's something we're going to talk about. We're going to go over the qualifications of the leaders. There's found in three different places in the New Testament, so that'll be one of the things that we eventually cover as we discuss this topic. Curtis?
Principles.
The what?
Principles.
Principles. Okay, good. I'd kind of put that with the doctrine, the common belief, and that kind of a thing. Good. What else?
Well,
when it comes to the church?
Outreach.
Huh?
Outreach.
That makes you, so outreach makes you feel part of the church? Part of the group or the movement? Yes. All right, so maybe a common goal or a purpose. So one of our goals is to reach out to people, which is given to us in Scripture, and that becomes very important. And that can help identify us. So, for example, we have the outreach here. How many of you were involved in the turkey outreach in some way? All right, good. Look at all of you. So here was a group of you that worked together in order to accomplish a particular goal. And this one was outreach and, you know, into our neighborhood. And that was a good thing. How many of you are part of the Note Writers ministry? Anybody here? Just Darlene and Teresa? Anybody else? Just the two of you? All right. To the two of you, I sent out an attachment to everyone that we reached out to with the turkey outreach. And my hope is that we will send notes and cards to each person that we touched with a turkey dinner and just say, you know, thank you for being a part of that. We hope, you'll come to church. If you need anything, let us know. Something along those lines. So my goal is to be able to touch those people one more time through the note writing ministry. All right. What else when it comes to the church? All right, we talked about leadership. Yeah, Curtis? The what? Okay. Well, yeah, I think the opportunity to serve. And we've been given spiritual gifts, and there has to be the opportunity in the church to use those spiritual gifts, right? All right, good. What else? When we're talking about leaders, or even one another as believers, as being a part of the church, there has to be a true spiritual life and strength that is associated with that, right? So that's a distinctive of the church. Curtis? That's right. Yeah, so as a church, we have a commitment to the principles of Christ to live by that out there in the world. And the fact that we're all doing that is important and ties us together. There's another little strand that ties us together. All right, anything else about the church? How do you feel part of the church now, given these things? Curtis? Not what? Okay. There's nothing like attending a dead church. Have you ever gone to a church that was just like... You go to a church and there's no life, there's no energy, there's no excitement. Now, these are human emotions, but it reflects that there is a desire among the people to do something for Christ and to serve Him and to be true. And if you're doing that, I think it becomes reflective. Well, I'm a part of this church, and I'm excited about it, and I've been called here, and you know, we come together in order to serve Him. There's going to be an impact in how we respond to that. Rather than, oh, I got to go to church again, I can't wait to go to church again. Kind of a distinction there. Now that's where we want to get. I can't wait for the opportunity to minister and to serve in His name, to fellowship in the truth and to fellowship with one another, other believers. All of those things really make a difference, I think. Gary, did you? Yeah, Gary.
Something that I really enjoyed here, and I noticed it's different in my spirit afterwards, is after the second song, when Greet Your Brother. It's like my spirit is always lifted after that more than my God.
I'm the same way. Not everybody reacts that way, but that has always been And that has always impacted me. Just it's a lifter up of the heart, of the soul, just to be able to greet one another. So I like that too. That's why we do it. All right, so the church is one of the most remarkable institutions of the Christian faith. It is one of the most remarkable institutions of the Christian faith. Jesus established the church as the means by which we might live for Him and serve Him. We do it through the church while we are in this world. So here we are in this world, and one of the institutions He has put together for us to serve Him, the means by which we might serve Him, is the church. Now, I say institution, and we have to immediately correct ourselves, or at least guard ourselves against making it or viewing it as an institution created by man. Because there are a lot of institutions, there are a lot of groups, as we started talking about here, a lot of movements, a lot of things going on in the world. But when we're talking to the church, it's more than just an institution created by man. It is an institution created by God for man. And it is one of those things that we are blessed to participate in that contributes to our spiritual well-being. So, it is a spiritual entity consisting of all those who believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The church is Christ's body, and He is the head. Okay? Let's look at some verses. For the husband is head of the wife, as also, and here's the part we want to focus on, Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. One remarkable thing about the church, when we talk about the church being the body of Christ, we tend to think of it, well, us here, right here, we are part of the body of Christ, and that's true. But did you know that the body of Christ, the church, also includes all those who have lived in the past and have gone on to be with the Lord? Now they are also a part of the body of Christ, and we are part of that same body. It's quite remarkable. They lived like us. They struggled serving Christ like us, but they have passed on, and they are with Him in heaven, and now they are perfectly fit into His body, even as we are still left behind here and struggling and striving to serve Him rightly. So I don't know if that's a good picture. It's almost, if we can picture the body of Christ, it consists of all those saints who have gone on before us and us who are left here and remain, continue to serve Him here. He is the head of the church. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. He is the head of the body, the church. He was the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. So again, Christ is the head of the body, the church. Colossians chapter 2, verse 19. And not holding fast to the head, who is Christ, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. All right, so Christ is the head of the body. He is the head of the church. And God takes each one of us and He places us in His body and makes us a part of His church. So I'd like for us to turn to 1 Corinthians 12. And for those of you who are here during our spiritual gifts study, you'll recognize some of this. But I want us to read this passage, 1 Corinthians 12. In light of the church. If somebody... The warmer I get, the more difficult it becomes for me to talk. But all right, 1 Corinthians 12. Somebody read 12 through 27. Anybody want to volunteer to read that for us? All right, Gary, go ahead.
Whereas the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. behold, we're hearing, where we're smelling. But now have God set the members, every one of them, in the body as he had pleased them. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are there many? Are they many members yet but one body? And if the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, once more than those members of the body which seem to be more feasible and necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable upon meeting, we bestow more abundant honor than our uncomely parts, have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular.
All right, great. What kind of things? This is a rich passage. What kind of things stand out in this passage about who we are as members of the body of Christ? What kind of things stand out, Alan? Okay. We're, in other words, we're all a part of the one body. Not one is better. Yeah. Right. All right, good. So we're all important. One is not better than another, and that is an amazing thing. There is one who is above all, and it's not me or you, it's Christ. He is above all. He is our head. But we are a part of His body, so it's really not about who we are and our value. It is about Him, and that we are here as Him, His representative on this earth. Well, and in heaven, too. We're His body, the church. All right, good. What else stands out in this passage? Yeah, God put us there. Wherever we might find ourselves, He is the one who has put us there. So, you know, if you don't like the fact that you're the little toe, well, you know, who are you going to complain to? Huh? What was that, Beverly? You know, when we get to satisfied where we are, we're really making a complaint about God, how He made us, and how He's gifted us, and where He has placed us. And so there's a certain measure of humility. Are we really thinking about ourselves, or are we really thinking about Christ? He's the one we should really be thinking about. All right, what else? Gary? That's right. Hey, if the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Can't do that. There's no place for that. Okay, anything else? Beverly, are you talking again? You know, just... Yeah. We all have our place. We all have our job. It is because of Him and what He has done in our lives. Debbie? Yeah, I mean, just think of the human body, all the ways that it functions from the inside that we never see and can't ever, you know, figure out unless we go to the doctor and they do some tests with fancy machines. But for the most part, they're not visible. There's no seeing them. You just feel the impact of them because they're important even though they're not visible. Now. Some things are really visible, like if you have a big mouth, well, that's a, you know, an obvious kind of thing. That's not how it should be in the body of Christ. It's not that one is more important than the other or more needful or necessary than another. We cannot say of the, how did you put it, Debbie? The weakest or least important, right. Yeah, we can't make that judgment. That is not our judgment call to make. Because we are the work of Christ no matter where we find ourselves. And it is wrong for us, prideful for us, to look down on anybody else within the body of Christ. That is just flat out wrong. Curtis?
That doesn't
call it a 25. The what? Schism. That there should be no schism. I'm going to come right back to that. Yeah, thank you, Curtis. There should be no schism. Another thing is, if one member suffers, then all suffer with it. So, have you ever stubbed your toe? Have you ever, like, kicked the leg on a piece of furniture, like your couch or something? That's right. When I do that, my whole body gets involved in alleviating the problem. I'm not going to my wife for medicine, though. Well, you all feel it. Yeah. So this passage here is really just an incredible passage, and it's using the body in order to correlate with what the church ought to be like, what the church is like, because it is the body of Christ. So just a very important passage here. And because it's so important, that passage that Curtis brought up about that there should be no schism within the body, one of the things that Jesus prayed about the believers before he left this earth is that they would be one, that they would be unified, that they would come together. And we need that, right? Because our, you know, as great as all this sounds, in practicality, we really fall short in acting like the true church. We really have trouble. Why do we have so much trouble? Because we're just still in the flesh. We struggle with that. The whole Christian life is about learning not to walk in the flesh, but to walk in the Spirit. But until we become like that and better at it, we're going to have trouble. And Jesus understood this, and so he prayed that there would be unity within the church. One of the verses here, John chapter 17, 20 and 21. I do not pray for these alone, not just his disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. That they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. So our unity is extremely important, among other things, in our testimony in this world. In our purpose and our plan, his purpose and plan for bringing people to salvation. Our unity is important in that. All right, and God not only places the believer into the body, but he places it in the body with gifts, like we've already talked about, to enable us to function in our place, serving one another as we serve him with those gifts and reaching the world with the good news of Jesus. All right, any final thoughts?
So what could be my strength may help somebody out with a weakness, with my weakness that somebody with strength can help me.
That's right. My hand is going to work best when all the parts of the hand are working right. And the one part of the hand relies on the other part of the hand, and it kind of all works together in order to function correctly. Terry? Yeah.
And it's amazing when you start to pick their brain about what they know and this topic and that topic. It's amazing what you can do. And I think that's what you were saying about the hand and the eye and the foot. But you get a group together. And I'm sure Ron does it all the time.
you already know how you're going to fix it, but you want to get their ideas on what the thought is. But there's a lot of people here that are very knowledgeable and very talented.
Yeah, I was thinking about this when we were going through the spiritual gifts thing, and I was thinking about it because I remember when I was when I first was a Christian, I was going to the church, and my first pastor, his big thing was, well, you know, it's just me and the Bible and nothing else, which sounded really great to me at the time. But you know, God has gifted people, the church, with teachers. And the teachers are supposed to teach. And if the teachers are supposed to teach, they're supposed to be people who are going to take it up and listen. Now, why would we have teachers and why should we listen to the teachers? Well, you know, when I go to the Bible, sadly, I just have blind spots. There are many, many things I could say about this, but one of the things that was standing out to me was that I am who I am. I have my ways of thinking. I have my ways of doing things. This is who I am. And as a result of this, I go to the scriptures whenever I go there. As much as I try not to, I go with filtered glasses on and I'm looking at it. And I'm only going to be able to draw certain things out. But when we do that in conjunction with the gift of teaching which God has put into the church, well, now there's somebody else that I can hear what they have to say in their perspective. They don't have the same blind spots that I have. And now all of a sudden, I have the ability to potentially to broaden my understanding of the Scripture, take what somebody else says and apply it to. Of course, you know, we always go back to the Scripture to verify everything. That's our truth. But all of a sudden, I can take off, partially anyways, those filtered glasses, and now I can hear what something else that God might be saying to me. And it's not just about teaching, but it's any time we have any kind of communication with one another. If I'm humble enough to hear what you're saying, God will speak through you to reach me in some way that my ornery, stubborn self just will not ever listen or hear. And so we need each other in that way. And so Terry's right. When there's several of us come together with a particular task, the options grow, potentially. Curtis? And it's not just a knowledge thing. It's a, you know, here I am by myself. I can only do certain things. I mean, I only have a certain amount of strength. I only have a certain amount of smarts. Like, you know, that's me by myself. But as long when somebody else comes along and stands by me and goes together with me, and then if a third one comes, what's that verse in Ecclesiastes? What does it say? A three-stranded cord is not easily broken. So when we come together and we join arms with somebody else and join arms with somebody else, then we can go together and we can do a whole lot more. I'm thinking of Moses was on the mountain and the people were battling. Was it the Amalekites or somebody? I don't remember exactly who. But every time Moses lifted up his arms, they were winning the battle. And then his arms got tired. And so Joshua and Hur came alongside of him and held up his arms for him. And they were able to have the victory. So one by himself can do only so much. But two and three together can accomplish so much more. and a whole church that has a goal in mind. We can work together, each one of us, doing our part in and contributing to the whole. We will advance the kingdom of God together. All right, let's